The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Good morning, everyone. This is End Time Headlines, and we welcome you to the broadcast today, to today's final podcast of 2021. It is New Year's Eve. It is Friday. And we want to welcome you to the broadcast. If this is your first time joining us via by Facebook Live, right there in the comment section below, please let us know that you are new to the broadcast and where you guys are joining us from. And of course, if you're listening by YouTube or Rumble or whatever platform that has the capability of commenting below it, again, let us know if you're new and where you guys are joining us from as well. I want to talk about today an unusual topic. Will we see a global famine in 2022? That's what we're going to talk about on this last podcast of the year. There is a lot of chatter right now, and we're going to talk about this today, of what could be exponential food shortages, even worse than what we've seen in the latter part of this year. And it's going to carry on over into 2022. Today, we're going to talk about something unusual going on in China that we need to talk about. We need to talk about warnings that even the United Nations is giving that we want to talk about today. And I'm going to show you some scripture. So let's get after this today. Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 through 8. We know that the Lord told us that one of the signs of the coming of the Lord would be famines. And it wouldn't be a famine, but it would be famines, plural tense. And let me read that to you. It's Matthew 24, 6 and 8. You will hear wars, rumors of wars, and see that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines. There it is, famines, pestilences, and we're seeing the pestilences, plural. I mean, we've seen variant after variant after variant. We've got, and I'll probably talk about this next week, but we've got other diseases and other pestilences that are emerging on the world scene other than COVID. So we're going to talk about that probably next week. And then, of course, earthquakes in various places. And all these, again, are the beginning of sorrows. Now, before we get into the headlines of this aspect of this podcast, I want to read one of the most notable famines that most of us are familiar with. Now, we could talk about other ones in the Bible that happened even in the time of the writing of the book of Acts and the early church. We could talk about that. But I want to go to Genesis chapter 41. I'm not going to pull this up because it's the entire chapter 1, Genesis 41. I want to read this. I'm going to show you something interesting here. It says, and then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years, that Pharaoh had a dream, and behold, he stood by the river, and suddenly there came up out of the river 7 cows, fine looking and fat, and they fed in the meadow. And then behold, 7 other cows came up after them out of the river, and they were ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the 7 fine looking and fat cows. So Pharaoh awoke. Again, this was a dream by a wicked leader over Egypt, the Pharaoh over Egypt. He slept and he dreamed a second time. And suddenly, this time he saw 7 heads of grain come up on a stalk, plump and good. And then behold, 7 thin heads blighted by the east wind sprang up after them. And the 7 thin heads devoured the 7 plump and full heads. And thus Pharaoh awoke. And indeed, it was a dream. So we see 2 dreams back to back. That's important. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And this is just a little notation here. If you listen, I believe you're listening to a preacher today that believes that God still speaks today in dreams and visions. I don't have time to develop that whole message, but Joel 2:28 points that out. The New Testament talks about this. The Holy Spirit that would be given to us will show us things to come. He's the comforter, the paracletos. God still speaks through dreams and through visions. if you and I have a dream, it's one thing to have one dream, but if you have another dream right after that, shortly after that, and it's nearly identical or the same dream or the same connotation, you need to write that dream down. You need to journal it. You need to date it, and you need to pray about it. And I'm going to show you why when we get to this in just a second. Verse 8, and now it came to pass, his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for the magicians of Egypt and all of its wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. And then the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh, saying, quote, I remember my faults this day. And when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker, we each had a dream in one night. Each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. And there was a young Hebrew man with us there, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us. To each man, he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to pass just as the man interpreted for us. So it happened, he restored me to my office, and he hanged him. He's talking about the baker and the butler here. And then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, this is who they're referring to, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothes, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, quote, I have had a dream, and there is no one that can interpret it, but I have heard that you are of such that can understand and interpret dreams. In other words, Joseph had a gift of this. So Joseph answered in Pharaoh and said, it is not me, but God that shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, and I'm not going to read all this for a second time. Pharaoh reiterates the dream. He repeats the dream of the seven cows that are fat and skinny, and the stalks of wheat that are fat and skinny, or that are healthy and that are not. And now watch this. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. Now, stop. I want to go back to what I said, the principle. If you and I know this is not part of the message, but I just want to help somebody out here. If you have a troubling dream and you have another dream back to back, and it's in the same connotation or the same dream. I've had so many people come to me and they're like, I have had the same reoccurring dream back to back to back in a short space of time. Listen to the answer that Joseph gave to Pharaoh when he said this. The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good heads are 7 years. The dreams, plural tense, are one, singular. And thus, it's the same with the seven thin and seven ugly cows came up, are 7 years. And these are going to be 7 years of famine. Listen to this, verse 28. This is the thing which I've spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Now listen, indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, 7 years of famine will rise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following it, for it would be very severe. Listen to this. And the dream, this is Genesis 41:32. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. So is God speaking to you today on a personal level? Is God speaking to you on things to come? Come on. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select the discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. So, of course, now here's the end. Now I'm going to get back to the message at hand. Notice that God was warning Pharaoh, who didn't even know God, didn't have a relationship with God, but was the head of Egypt. Now, why would God do that? Listen to me. This is important. Because presidents, ambassadors, and anyone in places and positions of leaderships over countries, by their laws that they decree can either cause a nation to come under a curse or a blessing. Read Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. So listen to me. It doesn't matter who the president, let's just speak for the United States here, because again, I'm a representation of the United States. I don't live in Australia. I don't live in Europe. I don't live in the Middle East. I live here in America. So I'm going to refer to our president of the United States. It, regardless of who the current president is, whether it would be Reagan, whether it would be Bush, whether it be Trump, whether it be Biden, whatever those national leaders sign into place as law of the land, it will either, watch this, bring on the hand of the favor of God, or it will cause the hand of favor to be lifted from God. It will open the door for disasters, or it will open the door for great blessing and abundance. I don't, listen, you can go to the book of Proverbs, talks about this. Again, Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, Matthew 26 talks about at the end of the age that Christ himself will gather the nations and judge them accordingly. It's all there. So notice, this is why God spoke to Pharaoh, because God understood, even though he did not know God, that Pharaoh, his actions could hurt or bless God's people who were in Egypt. Hello, just like we are a nation within a nation. What do you mean we're a nation in a nation? We live in, again, we as in, again, all you guys that are listening outside of the country, the United States, you are subject to the laws of your land, which is whoever's in your leadership, this would refer to you. But here in the United States, all of us here, we're subjected to the laws of the land, of the highest land. But watch this. So therefore, the actions, the decrees, and the laws that are signed into place by whoever is in leadership, we, the country, citizens, Americans, will suffer the repercussions. But watch this. But we, the ecclesia, the church, is a nation. We are a peculiar people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are a nation. Come on. We are a kingdom within a kingdom. And we don't operate by the same laws. Not saying that we should defy the laws of the land. I'm not saying that. In fact, the book of Romans says that we are to obey the laws of the land to a certain extent. And I don't have time to develop all that, but, you know, that's where you have to know the word. You got to be prayed up and you've got to use discernment. There's a certain, listen, there's a certain extent. Even the Apostle Paul talked about this. Even in the book of Daniel, Daniel was under the laws of the Medes and Persians. But watch this. He obeyed the laws to an extent, but once they told him by decree that he could no longer pray to his God openly, Daniel said, "Fooey on you. Not only am I going to pray to my God, I'm going to pray not once, not twice, but three times a day with my window open." So Daniel did according to his convictions. Oh, come on. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "Listen, we're not going to bow down to your stupid image and worship and commit idolatry because it's forbidden according to the law of Moses." So they refused, and there was consequences. Okay, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that, you know, we are to blindly be like lemmings that go off a cliff when we're told to. No, to a certain extent, listen, we are to pray for our leaders. We are to pray for those in authority over us. Read it. It's in the book of Romans. But what I'm saying here is, why did God speak to Pharaoh? Because God understood that Pharaoh was the highest place of law over the land of Egypt, and God's people was there, and God had a remnant in the land. So God knew that he could give the dream to Pharaoh to trouble him in his spirit, and God would divinely connect him with a man of God named Joseph, who had the ability and the gifting to interpret dreams, connect them together. God understood that Pharaoh would recognize Joseph as the man of God. He would give him the instructions on how to save himself, his family, and his nation from perishing in a famine. Come on, how many believe? This is why I believe, listen, if we would, instead of just complaining all the time, if we would earnestly intercede and pray that God would surround and send Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, Bible-believing, come on, individuals to have connection with the Biden administration, with this current administration, that could speak into his ear. What if we prayed, guys? What if we prayed, Lord, shake Biden in a dream, like you did Pharaoh? Give him a spirit troubling dream of things to come if certain things are not changed, or if you go forward with certain actions or certain legislation, that there will be repercussions. What if we actually stopped and prayed and said, God, reveal it to him in a dream? Why not? God spoke to Pharaoh in a dream. God spoke to Nebuchadnezzar in a dream. God spoke to Pontius Pilate's wife in a dream. God can speak through dreams and warn the people and the nations. So listen to this. So Pharaoh, he had a choice. He could say, when Joseph told him the interpretations, Pharaoh could have said, listen, that's all good and well, but I am not a religious person, or I am not one of those, I'm not a Bible thumper. I don't want to hear this about God, whatever. Get out of my face. He could have just shunned him, but instead, listen to this. Pharaoh, this is what he did. Now, therefore, verse 33, Joseph gives Pharaoh instruction. Not only did Joseph interpret the dream, but then Joseph gives Pharaoh practical instructions on how to survive what was coming that was revealed to Pharaoh. He says, let Pharaoh select the discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh did this. And let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the seven plentiful years. And by the way, I'm going to show you a report in a minute that China's doing this. China's doing it. America's not. China is. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Then that the food shall be as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the famine. So again, we see that there is a warning, there is an interpretation, there is instructions, and there is obedience. And because Pharaoh heeded the instructions, the warning, and all this from God, Egypt survived the famine. Now watch this. Now, let me show you what's going on in the world. I said all that to build up where I'm going with this. These are headlines over the last week or so. Quote, and right here on the screen, you'll see this come up. China is feverishly preparing for the coming global famine, but the U.S. has taken a completely different approach. This is by Michael Snyder. We're going to read a little bit more on that in just a second. China hoards over half the world's grain, pushing up global prices. Well, and somebody said, well, this is self-fulfilling because China is doing this. No, China, listen. The communist leaders of China are seeing what's going on, and they are preparing accordingly. According to a recent report, a group of 120 non-governmental organizations has joined forces in an open letter calling on world leaders to do more to halt a devastating global hunger crisis, as new analysis shows the number of people likely to be in need of humanitarian aid in 2022 could rise by 17%, according to the Global Humanitarian Overview 2022. Released recently by the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, or the OCHA, warned that 274 million people could be in need of humanitarian assistance in 2022. Let me read that again. Over 274 million people could be in need of humanitarian assistance in 2022. The world currently battling the worst hunger crisis in this century. This is up from 235 million people in 2020 and 168 million in 2019. So it's just exponentially going up and up and up. One of the main causes, according to the report, of the humanitarian need is food insecurity, with the number of people at risk of famine rising 60% since before the COVID pandemic. Currently, an estimated 45 million people across 43 countries are at risk of famine, up from 227 million in 2019. Now, I want to pull up another piece here that I want to show you that is very concerning as well. And I want to get into this article that we shared here with this headline with Michael Snyder. I thought I had this pulled up, but we'll pull this up here in just a second, guys. While I'm pulling it there, remember, I want to emphasize that we know, according to the scriptures, the Lord told us that there would be famines, plural tense, so not just one, but famines, plural tense, that are going to come. The Chinese government, listen to this quote, the Chinese government can see what is coming because right now they are hoarding food on an unprecedented scale. Less than 20% of the world's population has even managed to stockpile more than half of the globe's maize and other grains, leading to steep price increases across the planet and dropping more countries into famine. The hoarding that is taking place in China is alarming, to say the least. If everything's, and I'm going to give you a quote from Michael Snyder from his article here. Again, you can find this at theeconomiccollapseblog.com, themostimportantnews.com. Just type in Michael Snyder, you'll find his article. Quote, if everything is going to be just fine, why would China be doing this? It simply would not make sense. But if famine is on the way, China is preparing accordingly, and the amount of food that they are now stockpiling is eye-popping. Quote, we already read this. I gave you some statistics from the United Nations. So what is the United Nations doing in this? What is the United Nations? Let me see if we got, I think I got another headline here. But before we get to the United Nations, I can tell you what the EU is doing and what they are advising.
Well, insects have long been a part of the diet in Asia and Africa. In Europe, not so much. But habits are, of course, changing, especially as people avoid more animal products. And some see a market developing there. Well, today, the European Commission has officially declared mealworms to be food. It could be a game changer for insect farmers, many of whom are operating under temporary licenses. They're now hoping to grow their businesses and turn insects into another source of protein for Europeans, even if just a niche one. Our reporter Lars Halter visited one of Germany's largest insect farms, and sent us this report.
Schnupflingen, a little town in southern Germany, not far from where the Danube River starts its long journey east. There's a small church, and fields as far as the eye can see.
And it is right here where you can catch a glimpse of the future of our food. And these guys have nothing to do with it.
No, we're looking at another source of protein, and it's coming from this rather nondescript place, two huge factory buildings. The farm is called 6 Feet to Eat, and they're raising mealworms here. These tiny insects, just over 2 centimeters long, could be key to feeding the planet.
Insects are rich in protein. Up to 70% of their entire mass is protein. In addition to that, they're also rich in healthy omega-3 fatty acids, like fish. Except with fish, you have a 2% share of omega-3 fatty acids. And some insects, especially the mealworm, have over 14%. That's 7 times as much.
Literally millions of insects are being raised here. Mealworms, crickets, grasshoppers. Each breed with very particular needs, like steady temperatures of up to 40 degrees. The insects live for just 4 to 5 weeks before they make their way into a fridge, fall into a deep sleep that ends in a roasting oven. They're packaged and sent to stores, restaurants, or straight to consumers, who are currently paying premium for the product. But with the EU paving the way, the company hopes to produce cheaper soon.
There are some insects that are ideally suited for ethical factory farming, like the mealworm or the cricket. We're currently establishing some level of automation in our processes to get away from a lot of the manual labor that's currently needed. That's a way to cut costs, and it will help bring consumer prices down too.
But what about all those people who can't stomach a bug on their salad or their pasta dish? Well, they can go to the Nürnberger. Kurt Heinlein is a baker in Nürnberg, and he has been specializing in interesting ingredients like spelt or insects.
His insect bread contains 20% mealworm flour. It's pricey at over €8 for a small loaf, but customers have quickly taken an interest.
We were positively surprised, especially with regards to our older customers. We thought that the younger generation would be more likely to try out something new, but in fact, it was the over 50 group that got really excited about it. And many even tried the whole mealworms too.
Reason enough for the baker to hope that his store stays busy and customers are enjoying more of his experiments.
Here's the whole point. The soaring food prices is why the EU has felt they need to come out and say, hey, you may not be able to find chicken on the shelf or poultry or cheese or this or that, but go ahead and get you some crickets and grasshoppers and mealworms because these are absolutely safe for food consumption. Now, although they are, if you want to be technical, can you eat them? Yes. If you had to survive, could you do it? Yes. But again, do we see here, this is what we're talking about. So why would they be saying this? Why are they giving you this kind of news and this kind of information? So what is the United States doing? Are we doing anything? In times past, when the U.S. government stockpiled large amounts of food, the programs would be in place to help sustain it. The government has in the past stockpiled food, but these programs were mainly to support farmers hurt by low prices. For example, in the 1970s and 80s, the Department of Agriculture bought surplus dairy products, which is distributed to Americans via various welfare programs. At this current point, the U.S. government does not anticipate that there will be a need to supply food to the entire country. Now, look, you've got two polar opposites. You got one country that is stockpiling and hoarding food because they see something coming on the horizon. And then you have the United States that's living day by day. Listen, you go up towards You go up in the north and the northeast and you get in New York City and New Jersey and places like that. I'm telling you, a lot of those people live day by day by day. They go to restaurants. They eat off the cuff. I mean, it's not like it is in the South. I'm just telling you the truth. Listen, and I'm telling you by experience because I have family that live in New York, all through parts of New York. And I always tell them, God bless you. I love you. And they've tried to get me to move to New York. And I said, it ain't going to happen. I said, an angel of God would have to show up in my living room like he did with Zacharias and speak to me and tell me, thus saith the Lord, you're going to move to New York, because that's the only way you're going to see me move up there. I'm just saying. The U.S. does have some commodities that it has purchased for aid programs, and there is a very limited amount of food, water, and generators at 8 widely scattered FEMA distribution centers. And by the way, this same organization, remember all the organizations under the Obama administration that were hoarding and buying up ammo? So it's interesting that they were stockpiling ammo, but we're dropping the ball on food. That's very interesting. So we're seeing this happen, guys. We're seeing, again, two polar opposites taking place here. You've got at least one country we know of. Who knows how many other countries are doing this that just not made news. But we know that China, the government of China, is stockpiling mass quantities of food, grain, wheat, all this stuff. And for what they see as a foreseeable famine on the horizon. The United States seems to be very lackadaisical and complacent, and it doesn't seem like that's the case here. Now, I want to show you eventually, guys, where we're going. Remember, I showed you that in the beginning of this, I said there'll be famines, plural tense. And just like in the time of Pharaoh, there was a famine that lasted 7 years. Is a famine coming in 2022 by biblical definitions? I don't know. I don't have a word from God to say it is absolutely coming. That's why I titled this, Are We About to See a Famine in 2022? Because again, from the natural perspective, it looks like we're about to head into this. Food shortages, inflation, some say hyperinflation, talks of recession, all these things happening, distribution shortages, et cetera, et cetera. And just because we got through Christmas, don't everybody get your hopes up and say, oh, it's all going to, you know, everything's going to be great and dandy. Don't think for a second that politics ain't involved in that. Don't think for a second that things are back to normal. And that's air quotations for you guys listening by podcast and not watching. But eventually, we know that there is going to come a time in the tribulation when we enter full long into the tribulation, Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, we know that there will be a third seal that will be open. And John heard a third living creature say, come and see. And when John looked, he said, I saw a black horse, and the rider who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, quote, a quart of wheat for a denarius and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. When you take that scripture in the Greek and you interpret it to modern vernacular, it can read, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a loaf of bread will cost a whole day's wages. Think about that. A loaf of bread will cost an entire day's wages. Now, again, depending on what you do for a living, will determine what's a whole day's worth of wages. Look, would it really matter? Let's say I made $200 a day. Let's say I made $500 a day. Does anyone in their rightful mind want to pay somewhere anywhere between $200 to $500 for a loaf of bread. But this, according to what John saw in the future during the tribulation, he said, I saw a famine coming that will be so great that people will be spending an entire day's wages just to purchase a loaf of bread. So we know this is coming. Eventually, it's going to happen. So again, I want to leave you with some encouragement. We don't want to leave you with that hanging over your head. We want you to be informed. Remember, let me go back to this Genesis 41. Pharaoh had the dreams. Joseph came as the voice of reason, the voice of God, and the voice of interpretation, and the voice of preparing. So what do? We prepare accordingly. Do what you can do in the natural. If you normally buy 2 loaves of bread a week, buy 4 and freeze some. Freeze extra food. Store some extra food. Have some extra cash on hand. Do what you need to do, practically speaking, to prepare. Because even as bad as it is right now, guys, this could actually be the season of good, of plenty, of the fat. Because we don't know what's coming in 2022. We don't know what's coming in 2023. We don't know what's coming down the pipe. And if this thing takes one little turn, if, you know, the World Health Organization had come out and they warned that, and again, when these guys come out and say this stuff, the CDC, the World Health Organization, the talking heads, the puppets, whatever, when they come out and say stuff and they give warnings, I pay attention, because a lot of things that they say usually comes to fruition within a short period of time. I'm just saying. And the World Health Organization just now come out again, and they keep reiterating that they fear that a worse strand could emerge that will be completely vaccine resistant. Bill Gates none of this is conspiracy theory. Bill Gates has been warning of a worse thing coming down the pike, not a matter of if, but when. And guys, that scenario alone could push us into a global famine, global. A major disaster, an earthquake striking the New Madrid fault line in the nation's Midwestern section of the United States, like it did in 1811, 1812, literally changing the geographic makeover of America. That could absolutely wreak havoc and spawn us into a global famine, or at least a famine in the United States, and probably global, because it would disrupt all kinds of stuff. We could have, there could be so many war with Russia, with China, with North Korea, with Iran, take your pick, or any of the above, or all of them. Any of these nightmare scenarios could spell global famine. So we, as a church, have to be prepared practically. We have to be prepared spiritually, emotionally, and we have to be hearers and doers of the word of God. So again, we wanted to relay this message. We're going to give you some information on to keep up with our ministry, and then we're going to sign off for this last day of the 2021, and we will be back on next week in the year 2022. That sounds insane, but it went quick. It always does. It seems like the older you get, they say, the faster it goes. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. That's our landing page. Please don't forget to subscribe when you get a chance, as well as download our free app. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android. Again, type in End Time Headlines. Get it into your hands. Download that free app. Again, it's absolutely free for you guys to enjoy, to have at your convenience. Push yes to push notifications. When you do that, you're going to get every podcast right into your fingertips, right there at the bottom. You can listen or watch, and all of our latest news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And as always, guys, listen, if this ministry has been a great blessing to your family over the last 12 months, maybe you're new and you're only, you're, you know, you've only been part of our ministry for this past year, and it's been a great blessing to you, information-wise, revelation-wise, equipping, encouraging, whatever the case may be. We want to give you the opportunity, if you'd like to bless our ministry in return. You can do that two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website, or you can give by check or money order. And again, you can make that out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. As always, guys, we appreciate you. We thank you for our longtime monthly supporters and partners of our ministry that was able to help us to remain strong throughout the year 2021, that we're able to continually do what we do for free, the app, the website, the messages, the subscription base, everything is absolutely free, and it's because of partners like you. And we hope and pray that you remain partners with us into the new year. And we pray, if you've not prayed about becoming a new partner, that you would do that today. So we want to give you that opportunity to make that available. Guys, listen, next week we're going to be back, and probably on Monday we're going to come on and we're going to pray us into the new year. So I'm going to set a time at the end of the segment on Monday, and we're going to specifically pray, and I want to pray blessing over you guys as we get into the new year. I know, listen, I'm different than a lot of people. I know a lot of people say, well, why don't you do that now? Because I like doing things a little bit different. I'm always the against the grain guy. I'm against the normal tradition, whatnot. I like to kind of do things a little bit different. I don't like being like everybody else. So I want to come on while next year, which will be tomorrow, and then we get into Monday. We'll pray a blessing over you guys, because then everybody's going to be back to the normal. Everybody's going to be back to work. Everybody's going to be back to school. All this stuff. And we're going to pray a blessing over you guys, blessing over your family, blessing over your business, blessing over your health, blessings over your marriage. We're going to pray that in for 2022. So don't miss that. So we've got a whole... we'll probably have a whole lineup next week. We'll be back in the saddle, and we'll get after this thing in the new year. So we love you guys. God bless you. Listen, be safe out there, because there's a lot of crazy people that get on the roads on New Year's Eve. A lot of drunk drivers, a lot of people intoxicated through drugs and through alcohol, and all kinds of crazy stuff. So use wisdom tonight. Be safe and be blessed. And we'll see you guys back on Monday. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.